This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:48 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Kusu Chuang and Ibrahim Sani on The Morning Run. Now, we got a tweet from Dr. Fu, a regular listener, a regular tweeter. He's asking, why the radio silence, Sharad Kutan? And I'm sure lots of people missing Sharad at the moment.
But I miss Sharad.
I miss Sharad. He's on sabbatical for the next couple of weeks, so we'll have him back refreshed. And in his radio
full
voice.
Full of beans.
But we hope that we will be good enough. In the meantime, we've got the Breakfast Grill coming up in the next, about 15 minutes or so. Jeff Chia, the CEO of Green Tree Outdoor, is on the grill today. And Big Tree is in the business of out-of-home advertising. They're under the Media Prima umbrella of companies. They're one of the biggest outdoor advertising companies out there. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the Big Tree billboards, you know, the little logo at the bottom there. They've got like 8,000 billboards or screens, panels throughout the country.
I can't say I'm surprised, because outdoor advertising in any market, whether or not it's a developing market or emerging market, it is something quite interesting, because you can't shut your eyes away from it the way you can, you know.
Yeah, no ad block.
No ad blockers. There you go.
Yeah, you have
to. given the druthers, Big Tree and people like them, or companies like them, would love to sell space to whatever you clap your eyes on.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
But
so
you know,
sell space.
So with Big Tree, there's the road, and there's also the rail transit. And the rail is actually quite interesting, because you've seen the LRT extension lines. That's going to be more real estate for them. The MRT line is coming on, so that's a new contract, a new concession. So let's find out more about that with Jeff Chia, CEO of Big Tree Outdoor, coming up on the grill. But Bank Negara yesterday introduced guidelines that effectively compel banks to improve their governance and to put in place an effective whistleblowing policy. So part of the measures, Bank Negara is saying that the boards of banks should now comprise of majority of independent directors, and the independent directors should not be sitting that post for more than 9 years.
So the Star, in covering the story, started with this line: in the wake of lapses in controls in some banks, right? And clearly this is referring to the AmBank issue, where they've been fined 54 million ringgit.
And CIMB. Where 7 million US dollars was transferred straight to this group CEO.
That's right.
So this is
the thing. We need governance, we need controls, we need transparency. But do we really protect whistleblowers? In fact, do we even reward whistleblowers? I mean, with the Justo case and 1MDB, his motivations were a bit askew. But he was the whistleblower. And do we give enough protection? Do we reward them, in fact? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yes. Okay. And speaking of which, right? So whistleblower policy, according to this new guideline by Bank Negara, they must include evaluating periodic reports that monitor and assess how concerns are raised. They want to have periodic overview, particularly on the effectiveness of the whistleblowing policy. And I think there's some issues about how whistleblowing activity is being done in Malaysia. In fact, Melissa, you were raising some interesting issues just before we went on air.
So when I was looking at this story, when Bank Negara is saying that there has to be a whistleblowing policy established, more protection for whistleblowers, I was thinking about, I mean, aren't there rules, and I remember this is an old law, but weren't there rules under BAFIA that prevented you from allowing for, you know, disclosure of certain financial transactions?
There used to be, but BAFIA is now a defunct law.
So it's an old one.
Yes,
Financial Services Act.
But the Whistleblowers Act, according to some of the MPs in Malaysia, for instance, Rafizi, he says that it doesn't accord for enough protection for the whistleblower. That's why, in his defense, he argues out that he doesn't want to use the Whistleblowers Act, and he went on to reveal some information that was declared to be secret, and therefore he's now being subjected under the Official Secrets Act. But that's the whole point of freedom of speech in this country. For instance, we know that the freedom of speech is already protected under the Article 10 of the Federal Constitution, but it's not a free pass. Everybody has to be confined within the existing law. For instance, the Anti-Defamation Law in 1957, the Anti-Sedition Act of 1948, there are limitations to freedom of expression. But at the same time, the law to allow for people to come out and raise these issues the way Bank Negara wants us to raise these issues, is it enough to protect the whistleblowers? And I think that is the main contention right now.
Well, at its most basic, society doesn't like rats. you know, and culturally, we're not even inclined to talk up.
Sorry, I just go back. Society doesn't like rats.
Well, you know, to rat on someone.
Okay,
you know,
okay, gotcha.
Sorry,
gotcha.
Pointing a Hollywood phrase there.
Yes.
Or even, you know, in Asian society, we don't, you know, speak out against our elders or our bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in most cases, it's your bosses who are doing these things, right? Even skimming claims or whatever, things like that. You have to ask yourself, why would people be a whistleblower? There is no upside whatsoever. You can only see this yawning chasm below you that you will fall into if you become a whistleblower. Why would you?
Yeah. Because you could either turn a blind eye or you could do something proactive.
Unless you're so morally, you know, conscious that you would do these things. But, I mean, you know, protecting whistleblowers is one thing, but you've got to make it, you've got to incentivize whistleblowers to make it effective. And no one's going to be a whistleblower, not in this country anyway. Look at what's happened to our whistleblowers. They're in hell right now.
They are. And if not in this hell, it's in Thailand's hell, for instance.
Correct.
Javier Justo.
Correct. Yeah.
They're in hell, yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, right, so Banagara does this because of a recent revision that they've done on the banking system. In fact, a quick scan in the banking landscape, it shows that we are in lacking of fresh directors, not to mention directors who are just recently been appointed to the board, not to mention composition of women in the board. There's still lacking there.
Right, so there are essentially two separate parts of this. One is to enhance the whistleblowing policy and the protection of that, and the other one is to have more independent directors, right?
Yes, to
improve
the governance.
So these are the two measures
angle.
That the Banagara
so
is calling for.
The idea is that the independent directors will be your front line in terms of monitoring, you know, transgressions and things like that. And I think the story is saying that in some cases, you know, it's adhered to, and in other cases, it's not.
Yeah.
And
for instance, Alliance Bank, right? 7 out of 9 of them are independent directors,
yeah.
and none of them have served more than 9 years. So according
which
to
is
the,
good. Which is
yeah,
good, yeah,
in the eyes of Banagara, this is the best, right? But you know, other banks like Maybank, CIMB, Public, RHB, Hong Leong, these guys they still have to match that mark. The way
yeah.
Alliance Bank is doing.
Well,
the other guideline is that if you're an independent director, you don't sit in the seat for more than 9 years,
right?
Because you know. But your neutrality can be, shall we say, compromised.
Nine years. I mean, that's
nine
a very
years.
Specific figure.
I know some
no more than
why
nine.
Not round it up to 10?
I know some people who can be compromised in 3 seconds, let alone 9 years.
Well, now banks, so Banagara laying down the law, banks will now have to ensure that there are an equal number of independent and non-independent members in 2 years' time. So they are given up to 5 years to ensure that the board comprises majority of independent directors. 7:55 right now, Didi Chuxing from China and SoftBank Group are now leading a new round of funding in Grab, which could top $600 million.
So Grab right now is valued at $1.5 billion, believe it or not. They are operating in 30 cities, they are in 6 countries, and they're local born, right? They're a home-born country company. And for this company to see attraction from Didi, it does mean something. For instance, Didi is now on a global expansion, and Grab is the first point of the acquisition.
Yeah, look, I mean, Didi is roughly half Uber's valuation. I think Didi is about 27 and Uber 63, odd, give or take 1 or 2 billion. But, you know, it does seem as if the momentum is with Didi right now,
right?
Because they've just done a deal. They've basically shuttered Uber. They've won the war in China with Uber. And then very quickly, swiftly follow that up with this investment. I think with plus the informal fundraise, it's going to be another $1 billion in Grab's coffers.
So, yeah.
So this is in a way a victory for the local players,
yep.
The domestic players over the big global players that want global domination.
Because Didi has already tied up. So they've already tied up with Grab because Grab is a big player in Southeast Asia. They've also tied up with Ola in India and also Lyft in America, which is a direct competitor with Uber. But, you know, I came across a really interesting tweet the other day. I believe it was a CEO of an American tech company. I can't remember for the life of me who it was. But on the news of Uber now exiting China, the tweet read, "You can either be an Amazon or an Alibaba. You can either be an Uber or a Didi. You can't be both."
Yeah.
And it goes to show that you can either be successful in China or the rest of the world, one or the other.
Correct. There's only one sheriff in this town, do you know what I mean? So Uber bowed out as gracefully as it could from exit left, you know, tail between its legs, albeit, but
yep.
They lost.
Yeah. So we'll see more developments from this very soon. Apparently, this round of funding will possibly end as fast as this week. So we'll keep you guys abreast.
Okay. TADMAX Resources also in the news. They've got an official government approval to build a 1,000-megawatt combined cycle gas-fired power plant in Pulau Indah, Selangor?
I think the biggest question that I have in my mind is on the synergistic level of the energy sector in Malaysia. How is it being run? Because if you think about it, there are a lot of players in the energy sector. There's the Energy Commission, the Ministry of Energy, or so-called KETA, TNB, the independent power producers, and they're not friendly with each other, right? Because TNB, for instance, have just filed a motion against the Energy Commission as well as the Energy Ministry. And the IPPs are having a tough time trying to make their mark in this sector. So is there synergy here?
I mean, look, you need full employment in this country, right? But, you know, Keng Yek, Tan Sri, in fact, was it Tun? I think when he, you know, bless his soul when he was alive, yeah. RIP. He used to call Keta Ketia, you know, but he did. I'm serious, he did, right?
Let's catch your name.
Ketia, you know. Well, anyway, yeah, I mean, it's the same in aviation. You've got the DCA, you've got Transport Ministry, you've got the MAVCOMs. My question to this story was, what happened to our renewable energy aspirations?
Absolutely.
What happened to our clean energy aspirations?
Absolutely.
1,000 megawatts of gas fired.
So, Chuang, you interviewed the green tech CEO on
Hadri,
the Breakfast Grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hadri. And I'm pretty sure that he is also having some tough time trying to make that energy business, you know, affordable in Malaysia.
He's got I mean, he came. I remember he came to BFM in a Tesla. Generally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of us ran to his car.
All of us.
Yeah, it's just oogled.
Like
and
adoring, you know, infants. But, you know, I mean, like, yeah. So 1,000 megawatts is still 1,000 megawatts.
Okay, all right. We've got the Breakfast Grill coming up after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Jeff Chia, the CEO of Big Tree Outdoor. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.